You can open your Bibles to Gospel of Luke tonight, the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 7. Tonight I want us to consider what I've entitled, When a Sinner Comes to the Dinner. When a Sinner Comes to the Dinner. And we find that story here in Luke chapter 7, in verses 36 through to verse 50. And we're going to read this as we go through, so I won't read the passage as we'll be going over as we go through. Let's just open in prayer, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for tonight. Thank you that we can be here in your house, and we give you the praise and the glory for that. And I just pray that you'll bless our time in your word tonight, and that we'll be encouraged, challenged, and blessed by it in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage of Scripture, which is, as you can see there, about the time when that woman came and washed the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this account that we have recorded for us by Luke, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the centre of this story, this account. And the other characters are Simon, the Pharisee, and this unnamed woman with a reputation of being a sinner. And it's from these three main characters that we're going to find the message of this story tonight. So let's just read the first four verses, 36 to 39, to begin. So Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, that's Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and then wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. We're not precisely told when this incident occurred. We're not even told what city this happened in Luke's record. Interesting that Luke gives us the name of the host as you go through the story, Simon, but not of this woman, which was a sinner. And as at the first look, as you consider this story, there's two people who were equally quite keen, if you like, to see Jesus. The Pharisee, Simon, who wanted him to come to his house to eat meat, to have dinner, was keen to see Jesus. And this woman, this sinful woman, she was also keen to see Jesus. For Simon, it was a very easy matter for him to have time with the Lord Jesus Christ. He just simply invited him into the comfort of his home around a meal, like we would do if you want to have time with someone, you invite them over, you invite them round. For the woman, it was a different matter. Her sinful life, and it seems she was known for her life, would have made it difficult for her to seek out Jesus. If she even owned a home, she possibly couldn't invite Jesus there, for that would be inappropriate, especially if she was a harlot, as we suspect. Reports of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry and his teaching had somehow reached the ears of this woman, and she was eager to see the Saviour. And when she heard, how we don't know, when she heard that Jesus was going to come for dinner at this Pharisee's house, she took this as her opportunity. And we don't know all the details, but it seems that she arrived at Simon's house even perhaps before Jesus did. Because if we go down to verse 45, Jesus said, "Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet." You know, if dinner was scheduled to start at 6 p.m., that woman, it seems, would have arrived at 5:30. She was there, she was ready, she was prepared. She came prepared and with a purpose. She brought that alabaster box with her, with that precious ointment within. She came prepared to anoint the feet of Jesus. She came with a purpose. And that humble task of anointing the feet is usually delegated to the lowest servant of the house. And perhaps she thought this would be the only thing she'd be allowed to do. And we remember the washing of feet when we think back to the account that we're probably familiar with of when Christ washed his own disciples' feet as he was trying to show them his message to them in John chapter 13. And when the Lord came into this Pharisee's house this day, the normal custom and normal hospitality of the time would have been that Jesus should have been greeted with a kiss at the door. His feet would have been washed from the dust of the roads and his head anointed with oil. And perhaps that woman already inside waiting for Jesus to come in the door was waiting for Jesus to take his place at the table so she could begin the task that she came for. And it's obvious as you look at verses 44 to 46 that as Jesus entered the house of the Pharisee, his feet did not get washed. He did not receive that greeting kiss, and the oil wasn't put on his head. And we'll come back to this in a minute, but the woman, she would have fully expected that Jesus' feet were going to be washed as he came in the door. But they weren't. Simon, for whatever reason, skipped that courtesy of the day. But this woman, she didn't let the dirty feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, those dusty, unwashed feet, deter her from what she came for, what she came to do. She hadn't come, it seems, with a basin and water and a towel. She just came with that alabaster box of that ointment. And we can see there that in verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. There was no basin, no water, no towel available for this woman. And she starts to weep. And the tears, as they flow, they begin to fall on Jesus' feet. Now imagine this from the perspective of a woman as she uses her own hair to dry the feet of Jesus. I know that to a woman, her hair is very important. A very important thing. And I know firsthand how long it takes for hair to be done, to be brushed, to be prepared. Here in this story, this woman uses her lovely hair, her clean hair, no doubt, to wash the dirty, dusty feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this woman's worship of the Lord Jesus Christ was at great cost to her personally. There was the cost of the alabaster box and of ointment, and that wasn't cheap. There was the cost of the humility to humble herself, to do that act, to kiss, to wash and dry the no doubt dusty, dirty feet of the Lord Jesus Christ with her own hair. But there was even another higher price this woman paid to be at the feet of Jesus. As you consider the picture we see here, this dinner event, this meal, where the Pharisee had invited in Christ. And we can see it described for us in verse 39. She faced scorn. She faced rejection. She faced criticism. She faced those dirty looks. And I'm sure she got dirty looks from Simon especially. And it's possible there were others at that table. And I'm sure there would have been more than one dirty look put her way. And we can see Simon the Pharisee's disdain there in verse 39. He didn't voice it, but he spoke it to himself in his inner mind. And you could sum it up. What in the world is this woman doing? You know, for a Pharisee, their holiness, they kept it by keeping themselves separate from sin and from these sinners. You know, this woman's desire to come and see and worship Jesus, her desire was greater than her fear of what others might think about her and might say about her. She paid a high price, but she did it anyway. Now we see there in verse 39 what Simon thought, saying with himself, this man, speaking of Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. No doubt a great part of Simon's motivation to invite Jesus into his house was to check him out, to see who this man was and what he taught. Was he really a prophet? Was his message something to be believed? How did his message compare to what he taught in the synagogue, the Pharisee? Who did Jesus claim to be? That might have been some of the things Simon was seeking in his motive for having Jesus come over for dinner. And we can see here within Simon's reasoning within himself, which goes something like, if Jesus is a prophet, he would know who people are. He would know who people's character. And if Jesus knew that this woman was a sinner, he would have nothing to do with her, let alone let her touch him. And so Simon drew conclusions from what he saw. And his conclusions were, since Jesus has accepted this woman, he doesn't know who she is. He doesn't know that she's a sinner. And since Jesus doesn't realize that this woman is a sinner and should be avoided, he can't be a prophet. He can't be a prophet. Since Jesus isn't a prophet, I can reject him and his message and his teaching. He's not a prophet. You know, Simon, like some of us, can be very logical in our thinking and reasoning. You know, the only problem with logic, sometimes it's a bit like computers. The output is only as reliable as the input. What you put in is what you get out. You know, Simon's logic was proved wrong in the very next verse. He said, if Jesus were a prophet, he would know. Jesus, in fact, went beyond his expectations because he knew Simon's thoughts. He knew what Simon had thought. Because Jesus, in verse 40, and Jesus answering, said unto him, he was answering Simon's inward thought. It's like you think something, and then Jesus just speaks up and gives you the answer, and you're like, whoa, how do you know what I thought? And Jesus knew exactly who this woman was. we can see that in verse 47, he said, of the woman, her sins, which are many. He knew this woman. He knew her heart. He knew her life. He knew her history. He knew exactly who she was. Jesus was able to know the thoughts of Simon. And Jesus knew who this woman was. And he knew everything. He knew who Simon was too. You know, Simon had that typical Pharisee thought pattern. The Pharisees thought that holiness was separation, solely a matter of separation, keeping yourself separate from sin and sinners. And according to his view, Jesus should have shunned this sinful woman, kept away from her in order to remain holy himself. And Jesus' answer there in verses 40 to 42, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, Simon, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. You know, the Pharisees often picked on the Lord Jesus Christ because he was found with sinners. He was found associating and being with and even letting them touch him. And to Pharisees that was a big no-no. Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and the sinners? The Pharisees asked him more than once as you study the Gospels. Simon couldn't get over the fact that Lord Jesus Christ knowingly allowed this sinful woman to touch him and wash his feet. Why could Jesus possibly associate with these sinners? And Jesus told him this story of this moneylender who loaned money to these two different individuals, but neither of them were able to repay their debts. One had borrowed a lot more, 10 times more money than the other, 500 compared to 50. And which of these two, Jesus asked Simon, would love the moneylender the most? It's interesting how Simon was cautious in his answer. He said, I suppose, the one to whom he forgave the most. Jesus told him he'd judged rightly. He'd got the answer right. Those who have forgiven the most, love the most, is basically the summary of what Jesus said in his story. Then Jesus takes this story and applies it to Simon and the sinful woman in verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she hath loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Simon shunned this woman because she was a sinner. Probably if he had the chance, he wouldn't even let her into his house if he'd seen her coming. He would have shut the door and locked it. And he expected Jesus to do the same. Here Simon is rebuked by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he proves to Simon that in every respect, this sinful woman had outdone Simon in her acts of love and devotion. Simon forgot to give Jesus the common courtesies of the day. He didn't even offer his feet to be washed. And the woman did it with her tears and her own hair. Simon did not bestow that welcoming kiss on Jesus' cheek, while the woman did not cease to kiss the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon didn't anoint the head of Jesus with oil. The woman anointed his feet with that expensive ointment. This sinful woman outdid Simon totally in showing love and respect and worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman was, in Simon's mind, a great sinner, the greatest sinner perhaps. The woman was, as Jesus points out here, she was the most appreciative. She loved the most. In verse 47 there, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Her sins, which are many, he said, are forgiven, for she loved much. At first glance, you could take that the wrong way as you consider it. To love because you are forgiven is a natural response to grace. To be forgiven because you love, that's works. And it can be confusing, but when you think about it, forgiveness isn't the product of our works. We can't earn forgiveness. It's a gift of God's grace. You know, it's interesting that Jesus is addressing Simon when he said all this. He's talking to Simon. He's answering that question that Simon had in his head. Why does Jesus seek out and associate with sinners? Why is he letting this sinful woman touch him? And the Lord's answer, if you want it in a nutshell, to Simon: Simon, I seek out sinners, and I associate with sinners because they love me more than saints like you Pharisees do. You know, God's purpose for his son was to seek and to save the lost, to seek and to save sinners. You know, the Lord sought out the sinners. And the sinners, they knew they were sinners. Yet the Pharisees refused to admit that they had any sin. They were full of self-righteousness, and it was a block between them and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's significant, as Jesus spoke to Simon there in verse 44. See the beginning of verse 44, "And he turned to the woman and said to Simon." The Lord Jesus Christ turned his back on Simon and faced the woman, but still spoke to Simon behind his back. It was like he turned in acceptance to the woman and turned his back on the self-righteous Simon. He rejected Simon and his self-righteousness and faced the woman, who knew she was a sinner and probably freely admitted that. Lord Jesus Christ is interested in sinners. He seeks out the sinners. He seeks out those who are lost. But those who consider themselves righteous, those who consider themselves holy, he turns his back on. You know, when Jesus speaks to the woman there in verse 48, "And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven." So simple. Very simple. "Thy sins are forgiven." And then in verse 50, he says unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. There can be no doubt as to the basis of this sinner's forgiveness. It's not what she did. It wasn't her works. Forgiveness is the gift of God, granted to those who have faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, thy faith hath saved thee. I think we can gather from that that when that woman came to that dinner that night or that afternoon, whatever it was, she came to Jesus as a sinner, but as a repentant sinner. And Jesus did not send her away, and he did not turn his back on her. You know, the bad news for the Pharisees was that Jesus associates with sinners. This was good news for the woman, for the sinner. You know, the only people who will bristle at the thought that Jesus came to seek and to save sinners are the self-righteous, those who think they do not need saving, those who think they're okay. You know, there's no sign this woman disputed the fact she was a sinner. And she must have rejoiced at the report she heard that Jesus received sinners. And she came to him as a sinner by faith, believing that he would not send her away. And she was right. Of all those who were at that dinner that day, only this woman left forgiven, forgiven of her sins. Oh, the marvellous grace of God towards we, the sinners. So the first lesson we see from this encounter is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save sinners, the lost. And sinners are attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ throughout Scripture. And in John 6:37 it says, all the Father given me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. God never casts out. God never pushes away a sinner that comes to him. All who come to him for forgiveness and salvation, none will be turned away. If they come in faith, believing, he will forgive them. The second lesson we learnt from this story is to beware of being like Simon, the self-righteous one. And we could spend a lot of time on Pharisees and their problems. But Simon in this passage was more interested in passing judgment on Jesus, judgment on God. And he didn't seem to be at all concerned about God's judgment of him. Simon felt that he could keep himself righteous by keeping sinners out and away. You know, sadly, sometimes some Christians can be like Simon. They want to keep the sinners away. They don't want the sinners to come in. They try to keep away from dirty sinners. You know, Simon thought of religion as something to be preserved. He had to preserve his own holiness by staying clear, whereas Jesus reached out to sinners in love and he wanted to forgive them. Simon wanted to keep them out. Jesus went out to meet them. You know, Pharisees looked at sin something like the way lepers were looked at in Jesus' time. They stayed clear of them. They didn't want to have a bar to do with them. You know, Jesus didn't avoid the sinners. He didn't even avoid the lepers of the day. You know, as you look at the Pharisees that are ascribed to us in Scripture, you never find them being touched by the misery of others. They're too busy keeping appearances, keeping themselves holy. Jesus did not hesitate to be touched or touched by sinners. He was constantly touched emotionally by the sinners he saw. We ought to welcome sinners like Jesus did and reach out to them and not shun them like Simon tried to. Thirdly, we learn a great deal about worship from this woman that came to dinner, the sinner. First, worship's for sinners. This woman was definitely a sinner and she came to worship Jesus. And it's important to recognise that sinners can come to worship God. And sometimes when we know we're a sinner, it can draw us to God. It can draw us to worship Him and entreat Him to save them. You know, we can't ever consider ourselves to be sinless. And we don't want to fall into the trap that Simon did when he thought he was better than a sinner. The other thing we can notice from this woman is that worship takes place at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus. And the feet of Jesus are mentioned often in this passage, this short passage. While Simon didn't even do justice to the Lord's head with that oil, the woman was at the feet of Jesus, anointing them, kissing them, washing them, drying them. And as you read in the Daniel, the book of Revelation, you find men who find themselves before Jesus falling at his feet. Falling at his feet. Worship at the feet of Jesus acknowledges his greatness and our unworthiness. Worship at the feet of Jesus acknowledges his perfection and our sinfulness. You know, worship that exalts man is not true worship. The proper worship is at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Worship is also preoccupation with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That woman, at the feet of Jesus, was only focused on Jesus. That was her focus. All those others there and Simon who disdained her and thought dirty things about her, she didn't care. She was focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And she didn't let those hypocrites prevent her from worshipping. Her worship was focused on her Saviour. You know, when we worship our God, we shouldn't be worried about how we look or what others think of us. Our worship should be completely on the Lord Jesus Christ. We should completely be occupied with Him. If our worship becomes tainted with our own self-awareness, our own pride, our own self-righteousness, then we might as well call ourselves Simon. Our worship should be centred on Him. Another thing about this woman's worship, it wasn't concerned about receiving something. She was giving. Jesus was approached by many people during his ministry on earth. Most of them wanted something from him. And we can't minimise this or condemn it. If I lived in Jesus' times and I was blind, I would want to go to Jesus and ask him to restore my sight. But this woman's worship was expressed by her giving to Jesus. She gave that ointment. She gave her humility in the washing and the drying of his feet with her own hair. You know, she came to give. She didn't say anything. You know, sometimes when we pray to God, sometimes our prayers are like a wish list for Christmas. Ask, ask, ask. And sometimes we need a bit more praise and adoration and worship without any request and only desires to be in his presence at the feet of Jesus. Worship also involves the emotions. And I don't know why this woman was triggered, but we saw it there in verse 38. She was weeping. Her worship was very emotional. She was emotionally involved in this worship she had. And sometimes we could use a great deal more emotion when we worship our Lord and our Saviour. Remember that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. Worship should involve our emotions. There's nothing wrong with feeling emotion when we worship our Saviour and our God. The other thing we can notice about the worship of this woman was she did it without one word. There's no record that this woman said anything to the Lord Jesus Christ on this occasion. Luke doesn't record it. There's some, perhaps like Simon, who think they can only worship when they speak publicly or worship in a very public, in front of everybody way. And that's what the Pharisees did a lot. They made sure everyone knew that they were holy and that they were serving God, so they thought. You know, the very best worship can be wordless. The very best worship can be silent. In fact, the very best worship is when it comes from our heart, not our mouths. And the very best worship can be found in our actions, much more powerful than our words. And this woman showed it. Finally, true worship is not easily hindered. There are many reasons why this sinful woman could have stayed away from Jesus and not come and worshipped him that night or that day. She wasn't invited to this meal. I'm sure Simon didn't send her a special invite. She wasn't wanted. She might not have been let in. She would be scorned. People would whisper about her. There would be all those hypocrites there. But in spite of all these difficulties, the woman did it anyway. She came prepared and she worshipped Jesus. She didn't let anything hinder her goal. She didn't let anything stop her. Yet, to bring it down to us, sometimes a few drops of rain, a bit of cold weather, a late night, and we find coming to worship just far too difficult. Sometimes the slightest reason can deter us from worshipping God. Yet this woman didn't let anything stop her. May God enable us to worship as this woman did, to the glory of God and for his delight alone. We should never let anything stop us, just as this woman didn't. And she gained the benefit. She left that dinner saved. She was no longer the sinner. Gloriously saved. Her sins were forgiven. And I'm sure from when she left that house, her life was different. And I'm sure there was many more who heard her testimony and believed. These are the lessons that we can learn from the sinner who came to this dinner. May we be like that woman, humble, found at the feet of Jesus, and not like Simon, who looked down on sinners and considered Jesus' love for the sinner as a great error of judgment. We need to be like Jesus and be filled with joy when we see a sinner that we can reach out to with God's love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the many accounts of your life and ministry here on earth. And we thank you that you did indeed, and you still do, seek to reach out to save sinners. And I pray that each one of us here tonight would personally know what it's like to have met with Jesus and had him say, your sins are forgiven. And I just pray that each one of us would know that joy and that weight that's taken off our hearts and lives as we can cast all our cares upon him. In Jesus' name, amen.